all your being. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the commands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. But John said in verse 8, the commandment is also new. In that Jesus had issued it as the new commandment in John chapter 13, verse 34. He said, now I am giving you a new commandment, love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. So John Stott wrote a book, The Epistles of John, in page 1973, suggests that four ways that the old commandment become new when Jesus issued it. The first one, it was new in its emphasis in that Jesus brought it together with the command of love God as the summation of entire law. Second, it was new in its quality, in that his own self-sacrifice on the cross become the standard. Third, it was new in its extent, in that in the parable of God, a good Samaritan, Jesus extended the definition of neighbor to go beyond race or religion. Anyone in need who crosses our path is our neighbor. He said that we should love even our enemies. Finally, it was new in the disciples' continuing apprehension in it. The love of Jesus on the cross is inexhaustible. We can never plumb its depths. And so as we grow in our understanding of his great love, we will grow in our apprehension of how we must love one another. So Jesus' command is both old and new. That's a John Stott's book present about love and about the new commandment and the old commandment. Once we have believed Jesus Christ, to learn God's word, and from mature believers, that means our brothers and sisters, how to love others in a practical, daily manner. We have to think about others instead of thinking first about ourselves, our feelings, our rights, and our needs. We might need to think more. How can we show the love of Jesus Christ to other people who may be very difficult? How can we serve this person in love? Rather than thinking angry thoughts about how he wronged us, we have to start to think about how Jesus wants us to think about and what to do in our daily Christian life. Sometimes we might be offended for some reasons, but what can we do is to pray for that person. He would come to know Jesus. We need to look for opportunities to return good instead of evil. Do remember that Paul had talked about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7. I think quite a lot of Christians, they all memorize it. And Paul said, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And that's a very good scripture for us to remember. And also another scripture we have to remember, or we have to know, Peter reminded us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 to 12. Peter said, "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit our blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue," that means our speech, "from evil, and their lips from deceitful speech." Sometimes quite a lot of people will do that, but we have to avoid to do that. "They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So do remember it. It is very good for us to read it all the time, or we can memorize it. I do recommend you to maybe write the scripture on a card to remind us. Or maybe some people, they like to memorize it without writing on the card, but you still can read them over and over again until we can memorize them. Besides, we show our love by extending to our speech. We can put off our abusive speech. Sometimes people do. Well, but we need to put it off, because this kind of abusive speech will tear down the other person. But we need to put on speech that build them up. We have to stop lying or stretching the truth to your own advantage, and begin to speak the truth enough. We cease from gossiping and slander. We begin to practice love deeds. We look for opportunities to serve others, beginning maybe in our home. We become eager to do what is good. Another way to love others, for example, we can be a volunteer in an organization. Maybe we can be a volunteer in the hospital, in a charity organization, or even at church. Because as I know, many churches, they run the program to help the homeless or others. I remember when I was a student in the Bible College, I have a chance to serve in the food bank and the Wild Goose in Bristol. I think all of you have heard the organization called Food Bank. And I was the volunteer over there. And when the poor, actually the food bank offer some food to the people who collect food. And when they came to collect their food, and we're not only just giving out the food, actually, all our volunteer actually will give them tea or coffee, biscuit, and even we talk to them. And sometimes we might pray for them if they need. And also I have a chance to be the volunteer in the Wild Goose in Bristol when I was a student. And The wild goose actually like a cafe, and it run by the Christ Church. And it opens several evenings for the homeless. And the homeless people will come for dinner. So when I was the volunteer, and we have about 8 to 10 volunteers together, and we have a team leader, like a manager of the team, and he will assign us to do the job in the like the cafe. And then some people might do tea and coffee, serve the dessert, serve the dinner, clean up the table, and even some people will play games with the homeless. And especially when they need, and then we will pray for them. So actually, when we do that, we're not only to present God's love, but also we are a witness of God. So we know that it is not very easy to practice in our daily life sometimes. But when we follow Jesus, we must set aside our rights and serve one another out of our love. In verse 9 to 11, we can see the contrast, the light and the darkness. John said that to hate one's brother is to walk in the darkness. Walking in the darkness, it is generally understood to refer to a person who is currently sinning. He or she does not practice the truth. To love one's brother is that means to walk in the light. When we love other person, it requires us to sacrifice ourselves for him or her or his highest good, as Jesus did for us on the cross. God's kindness and love transformed us through salvation. If we continue in a lifestyle of hate rather than a lifestyle of love, our profession of faith is suspect. Satan always wants to blind us. He doesn't want us to see his tricks and Jesus. Peter warns us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be alert, be on watch. Your enemy, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Satan always tried to destroy us by leading us into sin and disobedience. The devil tries to destroy our fellowship by creating conflict among us, and especially by inciting us to slander and gossiping. He tried to find our witness to attack us. Therefore, we have to be very, very careful. The best way to avoid that is to abide in the light. The light is Jesus Christ. Abide in Christ means to depend completely on him for all that we need in order to live for him and serve him. It is a living relationship. We have to live with God's word and allow the word to shine into dark recesses of our mind, showing and getting rid of what is evil. But John said to us that loving your brother is not separate from abiding in the light. When we love one's brother, walk in the light, walk with Jesus, we can see the way. We will not stumble and avoid the temptation to sin. And actually, walking in love preserves you from sin. Also, out of love for them, we might build them up in Christ. In conclusion, none of us loves perfectly. When we fail, we need to repent and ask God's forgiveness. It is a lifelong process of being conformed to the image of God. But those who have met him at the cross will be growing in love for others. Also, note that love for others is a commandment. That should give you hope, because God's commandments are not burdensome. And God's Spirit gives us the grace and power to obey his commands, which are for our good. Biblical love is a self-sacrificing, caring commitment that shows itself in seeking the highest good of the one loved. We can obey the commandment to love others. It is not an option for the follower of Christ. It is very, very essential. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, just thank you for this time for our sermon. Thank you very much for having freedom to listen your word. We all know that we should obey your commandment, love one another. But sometimes we fail to do that because of our weakness. Our old self is still with us. May your Holy Spirit guide and help us to practice your love in our daily Christian life, and also to be your witness as well. In Jesus' name, amen.